Well, Beijing is on high alert today as the world remembers the 30th anniversary of China's brutal crackdown on student activists. Thousands of pro-democracy students were killed by their own military in what's known now as the Tiananmen Square Massacre. Since then, the Chinese government has gone to great lengths to erase the bloody crackdown from China's history. Our international editor, Linda Lopresti, takes a look back at the events leading up to and during the bloodshed.
In the northern spring of 1989, thousands of student activists believed they would change China. For more than 6 weeks, they defied their authoritarian leaders and camped out in Beijing's Tiananmen Square in support of democratic change. At the height of the demonstration, about 1 million people occupied Tiananmen Square. But when it became clear that the protesters weren't dispersing, the Communist Party ordered a crackdown. Here's the ABC radio news report from that day.
The Chinese army pressed ahead today with its campaign to kill off the pro-democracy drive in Beijing, and the Chinese leadership warned it would continue the battle against those it termed the dregs of society. Peter Cave watched from beside the Avenue of Eternal Peace as scores of tanks and armoured personnel carriers escorted a 2-kilometre-long convoy of trucks carrying fresh troops into Tiananmen Square.
A long column of reinforcement troops is moving into the square now. People are throwing things at them, and as you can hear, they're returning the thrown insults and bottles and stones with gunfire.
Dozens of tanks and more than 300,000 soldiers converged on Tiananmen Square, killing an unknown number of people. Jan Wong is a Canadian journalist of Chinese descent. In 1989, she was the Beijing correspondent for the Globe and Mail and was living in the Beijing Hotel overlooking Tiananmen Square. She was an eyewitness to what happened next.
Soldiers started coming in from the four directions, and there were thousands of people in the square. And I remember the crowds were very dense, and for people who have never been to Tiananmen Square, it's completely bare square. There's nowhere to shelter. And so it was kind of like this mass hysteria.
Around me, there are about 50 army trucks. They're full of young soldiers. They're in full battle dress. A huge crowd, thousands of people, have stopped the trucks here.
Nicholas Jose was Australia's cultural consular in Beijing in 1989. He recalls being shocked at how the events quickly deteriorated.
It made no sense at the time. Those protests had gone on for many weeks. They were declining. There were possibilities of negotiation. And while I didn't think it would necessarily end well, I think the scale and the callousness and cruelty of that response took everyone by surprise.
By 5 a.m. on June the 4th, 1989, the Chinese army's mission had been accomplished. The following day, a lone protester, now known universally as the Tank Man, tried to stop the army tanks from moving into Tiananmen Square. He was captured on film and in countless photos giving a defiant stop sign to a convoy of tanks, becoming a powerful symbol of non-violent resistance. From her hotel room, journalist Jan Wong witnessed what is one of the most iconic images of the 20th century.
I went out on the balcony, and that's when I saw this tank man, and I immediately started to cry because I was sure they were going to run him over. And I saw him sort of jump in front of this tank, and like a soccer goalie, and jump back and forth and try to stop the tank. The tank tried to go around him, and the young man would jump in front of the tank. And then the lead tank shut off its engine, and I think all the tanks behind the lead tank shut off their engine, so really quiet. And then the young man climbed up on top of this tank. Well, they would not open their hatch, and so he climbed back down. As I recall, the lead tank started up his engine again, and the young man tried to stop him again. And then a couple of guys came from the sideline and sort of grabbed the tank man and hustled him away, and he disappeared.
Tank Man has never been identified, and it's not known what happened to him. A few days later, journalist Jan Wong went to the Beijing hospital where many of the injured protesters had been taken.
I was able to talk to a doctor who worked in the hospital. He was really scared. He was afraid that the soldiers were going to come in and kill the wounded. And they had so many dead bodies, they didn't have enough room. So I talked to the doctor. he's got this frozen face. And what I won't forget is, like, his legs were jiggling. And he just said, you know, he said he'd never seen battlefield wounds before. And he was just completely traumatized.
China has never released an official death toll, but it's believed about 3,000 students, workers and other demonstrators died that day. Although a secret British diplomatic cable released in 2017 put the death toll closer to 10,000. Thousands of others were detained and imprisoned for their involvement in the protests. Some of them kept in jail for almost their entire lives. Others were executed. Why the Chinese troops opened fire that day, we'll never know, because that question has been left unanswered in China for 30 years. The Communist Party has erased the history of Tiananmen. To this day, it remains one of the most censored topics on the Chinese internet. Journalist Jan Wong.
They have had a lot of experience in controlling information and controlling history, and this is just one of the many amazing distortions of history that the Communist Party has been able to do. It's because they don't have a free press. It's because they can control access to the internet. They filter out anything they want. And because people are terrorized.
Australia's former cultural consular in Beijing, Nicholas Jose, says not confronting its past has been a lost opportunity for China.
It made me see how hard it is for change to happen in China. I think this was a moment when real change was possible, and that's what made it so distressing that that was so brutally snuffed out. And I think that's also why we're still talking about it, and we're still talking about how China refuses discussion of this subject in China.
But while Tiananmen might be a taboo subject in mainland China, it's a different story in the Chinese cities of Macau and Hong Kong. In the lead up to today's anniversary, thousands of protesters have taken to the streets in Hong Kong to demand China's accountability for the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre.
I have really confidence in the people of Hong Kong. People will still continue to come out because they want to struggle against this authoritarian regime and to condemn the massacre and to show to the Communist Party that we have not forgotten and we will continue to fight for democracy in Hong Kong.
Linda Lopresti with that report.